Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
In 2016, you know, there was some really out there talk about space.
So you said that your goal is to eventually take a million people to Mars.
Millions, yeah.
Isn't that going to be expensive? Are people going to be able to afford that?
The key threshold, I think, is $500,000 to move to Mars.
Why is that?
In order to achieve that, you have to, first of all, have a fully reusable system that can travel to Mars and back, and you have to pick the right propellant combination. And I think with methane oxygen, you can do it.
Whoa.
Methane oxygen, folks, remember that. That's billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk being questioned about his Mars trip. I kind of vote him as most likely to have come from another planet himself. He's talking about his SpaceX Ventures very serious initiative to get people to Mars. And it was just one milestone in space last year. If Mars doesn't work out, there's the Kepler project that has found 5,000 or more planetary alternatives. It's a new space race between the public and the private sectors, but everyone wins, and the real future may actually be in public-private partnerships in space. Much more in this year of 2017, including updates on the Cassini, the Juno, and the ExoMars missions. Joining us now, Emily Rice, astrophysicist, professor of astrophysics at the CUNY College of Staten Island and the Graduate Center, and a researcher at the American Museum of Natural History. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me about what's exciting in 2017.
Oh, man. So in addition to, making the next steps going towards Mars, there's a lot of stuff going on, both on Earth launching and kind of in the solar system as well as in the rest of the universe. $500,000 to Mars, that's pretty impressive. Like, you can't move to Manhattan for that amount of money.
So. Right, so it's a number that you can deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people can anyway.
And there's always, there's a lot more steps that Elon Musk has to take with SpaceX in order to get there, but he's putting his money where his mouth is, and we're going to see the first launches of the Falcon 9 after the loss in September on the launch pad. And they're talking about testing the Dragon human capsule again, the crewed capsule that can launch on the Falcon, and then maybe even putting people in that. So there's going to be two uncrewed test launches of that are planned for 2017, and then they might even have people in it at the end of this year or the beginning of 2018. And so that's exciting to have, an American vehicle go to the International Space Station again.
Uncrewed, that's a good alternative to
yes.
unmanned. I've been
yes.
looking for one for years. Thank you very much for that.
Uncrewed, absolutely.
That's a milestone for me in 2017. let's talk one more thing about Mars here. I went to the Museum of Natural History earlier this week, and the data set of Mars from all of the exploration, it's amazing. They can take you on a 3D trip into the canyons of Mars in the planetarium there. It was an amazing kind of invitation-only event, but it's eventually going to be something for the public.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing – this is like the work that I do at the American Museum of Natural History is both research and outreach, and so I also get to present planetarium shows sometimes, and it's like – being able to play in the best playground ever. Sometimes I call it Nerd Disneyland. And the data that gets in there, so this Mars data, a lot of it is from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter.
Real.
Yeah, it's real data. And even, the surface images that this camera has taken on Mars, you can find them on the internet. But in the dome, they've taken it and they've put it where all the images belong on Mars. And so you can make this high-resolution map. They have one for the moon. They have one for Mercury. They have them. There's a new one for Pluto.
Pluto is coming, right, exactly. And the resolution is only going to get better and better. And better. Speaking of resolution, what are the missions that have cameras and other sorts of devices out in the solar system and the universe for 2017?
So interestingly enough, for 2017, one of the most exciting things is the end of a mission. It's planned, and so it's not going to be catastrophic, really. It won't be a surprise, but it is something that is going to be a little bit sad. The Cassini mission is ending in 2017. It's planned for mid-September. But the exciting thing about that, this mission, it was launched in 1997.
Wow.
Like, think about, you know, what you were doing. I wasn't even studying astronomy in 1997. It's wild to me. And then it got to, the Cassini mission got to Saturn since 2004. And it's, so it's been taking pictures for over a decade. Pretty much any image that you see of Saturn or of the Saturn's rings or moons is from the Cassini spacecraft. It's just revolutionized our understanding of that planet and its entire system. But the cool thing is this mission has been extended for so long that now it's like, okay, we've gotten a lot out of it. And now at the very end, it's like we can push it to its limits a little bit. So they're getting very adventurous with its orbit. And right now it's in this orbit that's called the F-ring orbit, where it's a very elliptical orbit. So it goes from very far away to very close up, and it's just grazing the edge of the rings. And so taking these really close-up pictures of the outer edges of the rings. And then later this year, it'll actually change to what's called its grand finale orbits. And it'll do about a couple dozen orbits actually passing between the planet and the inner edge of the rings. And so that's just going to be super interesting.
And then it will spiral down, and that'll be the
end. And then on September 15th, it's planned to actually plunge into the atmosphere of Saturn and burn up. And hopefully make some measurements along the way, but they want to make sure that they kind of destroy the spacecraft effectively so that it doesn't actually hit any of the moons that could be potentially habitable. We don't want to do anything that could affect any...
Do no harm.
Yeah, basically.
What about launches in 2017?
I think the most exciting launch for 2017 is actually going to happen at close to the end of the year. Maybe it'll be pushed into 2018, but let's call it 2017. It's the TESS satellite. And we, you know, we talked about SpaceX before. This is actually going to launch on a Falcon 9 rocket from SpaceX. And I think it's the first NASA science satellite to be launched on a Falcon. It's called TESS. It's the Transiting Exoplanet Survey satellite. And this is kind of like Kepler on steroids. So you mentioned Kepler before and how Kepler has found thousands of planets.
By charting the diminishing light from stars because the planets make a shadow as they go around, and so they've calculated that. But this will give them much higher resolution and much more data.
It's much more data. It's not necessarily higher resolution, but what it is it's looking at a lot more stars. And it's also looking at brighter stars. So the Kepler mission looked at one area in the sky, and this is an all-sky survey. So it's going to look at hundreds of thousands of stars, but all over the sky, focusing on the brightest ones. And that's important because these brightest ones are going to be easiest for follow-up. And so not only are we going to be able to find the planets, but we'll be able to follow up more on them, do more observations more easily, and actually find out more about these planets.
Any places that you're dying to go?
Yeah, Proxima B.
Is that right?
Yeah. So this is one of the most interesting discoveries of 2016, I think, is that there is, you know, if we can't find anywhere in the solar system we can live, there's potentially a habitable planet around the next closest star to the solar system. So there's the Alpha Centauri system, which is a binary system of two sun-like stars. But then there's actually a smaller star that's technically a tiny little bit closer than those two stars. It's called an M-dwarf star, so it's much smaller and cooler than the sun. But last year it was announced that this has a super Earth planet around it. So it might not be a habitable planet, but it's in the habitable zone of that star.
A few propulsion issues, a few engine and propulsion issues to work out, and you're on your way.
Yep.
Emily Rice, astrophysicist, professor of astrophysics at the CUNY College of Staten Island and the Graduate Center, and researcher at the American Museum of Natural History. You called it the Nerd
Disneyland.
Nerd Disneyland. Welcome back. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.